Good evening for WBAI News in New York. I'm Linda Perry with some of the news for Wednesday, April 13, 2016. Tens of thousands of Verizon landline and cable workers went on strike in 9 eastern states and in Washington, D.C. Workers are lobbying for job security, fair wages, and keeping jobs from going overseas. Their contract expired in August. Negotiations have stalled.
Thank you for your courage in standing up for justice against corporate greed.
Today, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders joined a Verizon workers picket line in Brooklyn. He told CWA members, Communication Workers of America Union members, that he knows being on strike is hard.
But you have chosen to stand up for dignity, for justice, and to take on an enormously powerful special interest.
A CWA union boss told strikers we're fighting a vicious corporation, but we have a hero, Bernie Sanders. Verizon spokesperson Rich Young said the company was disappointed by the strike. He said Verizon has trained thousands of non-union workers to fill in for striking workers. And we will be there, he said, for our customers. Scabs, yelled union members. Earlier, Sanders received the endorsement of the Transit Workers Union, Local 100. Sanders said he would invest $1 trillion in rebuilding the crumbling infrastructure and public transit systems over the next 5 years. Where would he find the money?
We're going to end the outrageous loophole that allows large multinational corporations to put their money into the Cayman Islands and in other tax havens so that at the end of a given year, after making billions of dollars in profit, they do not pay one nickel in a given year in federal taxes. We end that loophole. That's $100 billion a year that we put right in to our infrastructure. So I think it makes a lot more sense for this country to rebuild our transit system, our rail systems, our infrastructure, than to give large profitable corporations massive amounts of tax breaks.
Sanders said his plan would create 13 million new jobs. Hillary Clinton also campaigned in New York City on Wednesday, picking up the support of the IBEW Local 3, the Electrical Workers Union. She also spoke at the National Action Network, which brought together some of the families who lost their loved ones at the hands of police.
People who are joined in a club of grief that none of us ever want to be members of. And I am grateful for their witness and their extraordinary commitment to criminal justice reform, to common sense gun reforms.
Clinton said there's something wrong when so many black babies are being buried in our country.
Imagine if a white baby in parts of our country was twice as likely to die before her first birthday than a black baby. Imagine the outcry and the resources that would flood in to save those babies. These are not only problems of economic inequality, they are also problems of racial inequality. And it is time we face up to the reality of systemic racism in all of its forms.
According to Clinton, white people need to recognize white privilege and practice humility rather than think white experience is everyone else's experience. Clinton is trying to secure black votes in a very contentious race. It's New York City, which offers by far the largest block of votes in Tuesday's primary. Campaign officials estimate it could account for about 70% of the vote on Tuesday. Clinton holds a lead of about 250 pledged delegates in the chase for the nomination. This is an advantage that Sanders is trying to chip away at in the upcoming primaries here in New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and beyond.
I used to be a Republican, but then I realized the corruption in the Republican Party and decided to move over to Democrats.
The Reverend Dr. Paul Patrick is with the Queens Christian Center.
There wasn't good representation in the Republican Party. There was no one there I could trust. They were in the business for themselves only, not for the people. And I decided I was going to vote for Bernie for the Democrats this season.
Well, why not Hillary?
Hillary, because she's a flip-flopper. She's not consistent. Besides that, you know, between her and her husband, they took away all the jobs from the working-class people of this country. And we want to see some jobs come back to the country again. And I'm convinced that if we would get Bernie Sanders in office, we will see a great change in our society at every level. And also internationally, too. We can impact the world positively.
There's a new poll out. It's a Siena College poll. It shows that Clinton is leading Sanders by 10 percentage points in New York. This is ahead of the primary. The poll shows that Clinton is favored by 52% of likely voters compared with 42% for Sanders. But this shows that Sanders is gaining from a March poll, which showed Clinton leading Sanders 55 to 35%. Among likely Republican voters, the Siena poll shows that the New York City billionaire Donald Trump is backed by 50%, followed by 27% for Ohio Governor John Kasich and 17% for Texas Senator Ted Cruz. This is a gain for Trump. Back in March, it was 45% of the likely voters who said that they would vote for him. In other news, NYPD officials reassigned another high-ranking officer amid a federal probe into whether officers accepted gifts from businessmen with ties to Mayor Bill de Blasio. On Wednesday, the NYPD said Deputy Chief Andrew Kappel was moved to an administrative position pending further review. He is head of the patrol borough Manhattan North. His union said Kappel wasn't a target of the probe and the reassignment sullies his good name. The NYPD didn't say why he was reassigned other than it was connected to the probe. Federal agents interviewed at least 20 officers on whether they accepted gifts in exchange for favors from two businessmen who also gave money to de Blasio's mayor campaign. Four other senior officials were also reassigned. No charges have yet been filed. In other news this week, there was a hearing at Queens Criminal Court for two of the protesters who were arrested at the shutdown Rikers action in October. David Saleh has the story.
On October 23rd, Clark Kissinger and Miles Soleil were arrested on charges of obstructing government administration at the entrance of Rikers Prison Complex. The two were part of an action in response to prisoner deaths by medical neglect at Rikers, guard-inflicted injuries of prisoners, and repeated lawsuits settled by the city over prisoner abuse. While 17 protesters were arrested outside of the prison, only Kissinger and Soleil were charged. Deborah Sweet of The World Can't Wait says anyone who cares about justice should be outraged by the charges they face.
They are effectively making an example that in the land of freedom and justice, when you dare criticize the powers that be and protest under the theme of shutting down Rikers, you could be held in jail overnight and then threatened with up to a year in prison.
The group is delivering a petition to Queens District Attorney Richard Brown, urging him to drop charges against the protesters. Miles Soleil, who is a singer with the rock band Outer National, says the two are innocent of the charges and plan to fight them. He says the pair will bring out the reason they were protesting Rikers at their trial.
The absurdity, but reality and lived experience of hundreds of thousands of people who have their lives foreclosed upon in the spearhead on the domestic front of American capitalism. Mass incarceration, which just destroys, degrades, dehumanizes, brutalizes, and subjugates generation after generation of young black and Latino men.
The other protester, Clark Kissinger, is manager of Revolution Books in New York. He says Rikers has become an embarrassment to leaders in the U.S. who like to pride themselves as great defenders of human rights around the world.
When it comes out that they're engaging in what is internationally considered torture right here, people who die at Rikers Island either from being killed from injuries inflicted by the guards or from deliberately leaving them without care.
The lawyer for the two protesters filed a motion with the court for the trials to be combined. It's set for July 12th. David Saleh, WBAI News, New York.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. On Thursday, the officer, Peter Liang, who was convicted of manslaughter in the death of Akai Gurley at the Pink Houses in Brooklyn, will be sentenced. Zach Murphy reports.
Because the incarceration of the defendant is not necessary to protect the public, and because of the unique circumstances of this case, the people do not believe that a prison sentence is warranted. These were the words that Brooklyn District Attorney Ken Thompson wrote to Judge Danny Chun last week, pleading with him that no jail time be given to former NYPD rookie officer Peter Liang. The families of Nicholas Hayward Jr., Brianna Ojeda, Mohammed Ba, Kimani Gray, Corey Mickens, and other families gathered to show solidarity with Gurley's family in front of Thompson's office in downtown Brooklyn. Gurley's family said they were not made aware by the district attorney's office about Ken Thompson's recommendation, but rather were informed of it through the media.
We voted for Ken Thompson thinking that we were going to get justice under a new district attorney in Brooklyn. Now he has, as far as I'm concerned, he has failed us.
Nicholas Hayward Sr., whose son was killed in 1994, says that he supported and campaigned for Ken Thompson when he ran for DA against Charles Hines, the former Brooklyn district attorney who for 25 years was synonymous with prosecutorial misconduct to many in Brooklyn's Black and Latino communities.
By recommending, making a recommendation like that, he has failed Brooklyn, whether he realizes it or not.
Nicholas Hayward Sr. says that this recommendation of no jail time is unheard of following a guilty verdict of second-degree manslaughter. It's also very painful for him as a father who lost his son at the hands of a police officer 22 years ago.
My son was murdered 22 years ago, and there was never an indictment. And it's also similar, very similar to the Akai Grolley case. After getting an indictment, a conviction by a jury, and for Ken Thompson to then recommend no jail time for manslaughter, that is unheard of. And for me, it's painful because we have been suffering in Brooklyn for years under Brooklyn former district attorney Charles Hines and cases that were covered up by a corrupt office that Charles Hines was running, and Ken Thompson knew this. Part of his campaign was based on exposing the corruption that was going on in Charles Hines' office.
The backlash of Ken Thompson's recommendation of no jail time for Peter Liang remains to be seen. This is because there are many New Yorkers who also believe that Officer Liang shouldn't receive any jail time despite not administering any CPR to Gurley after he realized Gurley had been shot. Parents of Brianna Ojeda have decided to carve out their own path at enacting legislation that will address issues of police response to dying victims. They are currently trying to get legislation passed at the city and state level that will require CPR retraining every 2 years for NYPD officers.
Brianna's law will in fact make sure that they're mandated to get some type of CPR training. Even if they skipped over it, once that 2 years hits, then they get that CPR training. And I, if you go on my page, Coca Miss You Nuna, I have classes held. I have people that will come out to your schools, to your homes, to anywhere you need them to come and give you CPR training. There is no excuse for an NYPD officer not to know CPR.
The sentence that Judge Danny Chun delivers on Thursday will be a sign of whether or not the Brooklyn DA's office under Ken Thompson will influence judges in the same way that Charles Hines' office was able to do in high-profile police-related cases. Zach Murphy, WBAI News, New York.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. The news was produced this evening with David Saleh, Zach Murphy, Mitchell Cohen, and Reggie Johnson. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.